Hi, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Our Bodies, Our Stories. In our last episode, we talked about consenting to sex while intoxicated and stigmas in the AAPI community surrounding sex. This week, we will be continuing conversations about safe sex by talking about contraceptive use.
Yeah, so let's say you went through that thought process that we talked about in our previous episodes, and you decide that you want to hook up with someone. So then you check in for consent with your partner and they want to have sex. So what now?
If it's someone who you are not exclusively hooking up with, it's always good to ask if they're clean, AKA if they have STIs. You want to make sure that you are protecting yourself against those infections. This can be kind of awkward to ask in some instances, but remember that it is important to prioritize your health and ask. So part of having a healthy sex life includes advocating for yourself and your own health and needs. So it really is okay to ask someone if they have been diagnosed with an STI. Discussing STIs to ensure fully informed consent is a stigma that honestly has to be broken. Say, think about it this way. If you had COVID, you would hopefully tell everyone you were in contact with that you had it and everyone that you had plans with that you can't hang out. STIs, they work the same way. Everyone needs to work collectively to stop the spread.
Yeah, for sure. It's super important for us to normalize asking about STI status in hookup culture. And we want to clarify that having an STI or COVID, for our analogy, does not make you dirty or unclean. It's just something that you should disclose to someone who you're hooking up with because it can significantly impact their life and their health if it's not communicated well. And it's definitely important to have informed consent, which, as we talked about earlier, includes all sorts of things, including your partner's STI status.
So before we really delve into contraceptives, we wanted to talk about discussing contraceptive use with your partner. Sometimes you may be ready and excited to have sex using a condom, and your partner says that they don't want to use one. People sometimes claim sex will feel better for them if they don't use a condom and that they would rather not use one. This can feel like a really awkward situation to be in because you like the person and were ready to have sex, but now you don't know if it's safe.
Yeah, and we just want to reiterate that you should never have to have sex with someone if you're uncomfortable for any reason. Studies have actually shown that for most people, sex feels just as good with a condom on as it does without a condom on. So if you want to use a condom and your partner refuses, it's important to remember to prioritize your own safety and comfort level. You shouldn't pressure yourself or let anyone else pressure you into having sex without protection.
And it's great and normal to use a condom. Usually people use male condoms, but some people also use female condoms. Male condoms can be placed over a penis while female condoms are inserted into the vagina.
Also, Planned Parenthood centers always have some on hand as well. So some of you might be thinking, oh, I'm on birth control pills or I have an IUD. So do you still need to use a condom?
If you're hooking up with someone you are not exclusive with, condoms protect against STIs. And additionally, if you are engaging in penetrative penis and vagina sex, it can prevent people from becoming pregnant.
Yeah, so a good rule of thumb if you're trying to not get pregnant is to use two methods of birth control. So this lowers the risk of getting pregnant even more than it would with one method of birth control. And constantly wondering if you're pregnant or have gotten pregnant when you don't want to be, that's not a fun place to be.
And we know that condoms can be expensive and hard to access. So a lot of universities actually will have free condoms in residence halls or at the health center typically. And that's a really great option to check out at your college, just so you have some on hand in case you ever want to have sex.
So in an ideal world, you would always be prepared to have sex. You would always have a condom that is not expired on hand. But sometimes things go wrong during hookups. And if something goes wrong, like the condom breaking, your partner not wearing a condom for some reason, something like that, be sure that you don't panic. There are several emergency contraception options.
So if you're on birth control pills, you can usually take 3 pills. And I would definitely double check, especially depending on brands of birth control pills. But typically you can take 3 pills and that will serve as emergency contraception. So it'll prevent the sperm inseminating the egg. Otherwise, you can get Plan B from a pharmacy. And sometimes universities actually have programs where they give these out for free as well. But if if you can't get it for free, I will say that Plan B can be expensive. So that is something to definitely keep in mind during hookups and such. Just be safe. Preventative measures are always key. And also, this is a little more specific and complicated, but getting a copper IUD up to 5 days after unprotected sex will also serve as emergency contraception and prevent pregnancy.
Yeah, one of my favorite stories is I have a friend who, when she was in high school, had unprotected sex and was worried about becoming pregnant. So instead of Googling what to do, she took an entire pack of birth control pills was extremely ill. So I would not recommend that. I would definitely recommend that you do your research and take however many birth control pills you actually need to take. And another thing is about Plan B, I have heard recently that Costco has pretty reasonably priced Plan B. So if you have access to a Costco wherever you are, look into that because it seems like a good deal. But yeah.
Also, just to add to that, we did say that you can get a copper IUD up to 5 days after having sex, and you can take Plan B up to 72 hours after having unprotected sex. So that's 3 days.
Yeah, so you definitely have a window of time in which to protect yourself if something does happen. So just keep that in mind. And accidents do happen, but just make sure you are having safe and or protected sex.
So now that we've gone through some of the different forms of contraception and what they do, we are going to talk about people's actual experiences with contraceptives. So people have varying experiences with both getting on and using contraceptives, and this is a great opportunity for us to talk about the things that may or may not happen to you or your friends when you start using contraceptive options. All right. So now that we've gone through some of the different forms of contraception and what they do, we're going to talk about people's actual experiences with contraceptives. People have varying experiences with both getting on and actually using contraceptives, and this is a great opportunity for us to talk about things that may or may not happen to you or your friends when you start using contraceptives.
And to help us have this discussion and share some of their own experiences, we have two guest stars with us today, Twee and Ellen. Would you both like to introduce yourselves?
Hi, y'all. I'm Ellen. My pronouns are she, hers. I'm the program coordinator at Vela, and I'm second generation Taiwanese American and first generation college graduate. I went to UC Santa Barbara to study sociology and communication and came back, and I'm excited to be on this podcast.
I'm Twee, and my pronouns are she, her, hers, and I'm the special projects coordinator here at Vela New Orleans, and I'm also a senior at Tulane University, and I also, on my free time, volunteer as the vice president of the leadership team of National Storytellers of Planned Parenthood, and I'm just really excited to be here with you guys.
Thank you both. We are so excited to have both Ellen and Twee here with us today. Let's jump right into it. So how did y'all first decide to start using a contraceptive, and how did you communicate that, if at all, with your parents or guardians?
Well, I've told this story many times, and it all comes down to the same kind of basic story. I did not have the conversation with my parents, and it turned out to be a very secretive adventure to get contraceptives through Planned Parenthood. I was a junior in high school, so I don't know, I'd say I was 16 years old, and I didn't quite want to have the conversation with my parents because it's been so instilled in them that, education was supposed to be first, and romantic life and, reproductive kind of activities were not allowed, and it was a danger to your education if you were to get pregnant. So I knew that it was not a conversation that I was willing to have with them, because I already knew the conversation, how it would go. And so I went on my little adventure to go find it myself.
So brave. Yeah, I did not tell my parents at all in high school if I was dating anyone or hooking up with anyone, anything like that. I just kept all that pretty secretive. Yeah, so by the time I decided to get on a more steady birth control outside of condoms, I wanted something that I wouldn't really have to think about, and it could be a one-time thing. And at that point, I figured I was old enough to talk to my mom about it. And when I told her I was getting on birth control, she was kind of like, oh, but you don't really have acne problems. And I was like, oh, funny that you thought about the non-sex reasons for birth control. But I was like, yeah, I'm getting it to be on birth control. And she was like, well, do you have a boyfriend? I said, no, just seeing people, you know, just want to have that ready to go if the time comes up, boyfriend or not. It was really awkward to bring it up, but I wanted to try to start being more open because I was like way older than 21 at that point. But I told her and she kind of didn't know how to react. But by the next morning, she was like, let me know if you want me to drive you there. You know, if you have a bad reaction, I can pick you up and stuff. And I felt bad. I was still thinking, you know, this is something I want to do on my own. It's okay if you don't want to be there. And I already had planned in my own head that if I didn't end up telling her that I would do all of this by myself, which I was okay with too. But then I felt bad that she did really want to try to be there. And I kind of made plans without her. Yeah, I was living at home at the time. And when I got home, she like made this little Taiwanese breakfast. And I was like, this is very nice.
I think that's really great that you both were able to like obtain birth control in a form, even if you weren't necessarily comfortable talking to your guardians about it. So like for Ellen, who did end up talking to her mom about it, do you think the AAPI norms affected this conversation at all?
Yeah, I think that she had never had the talk with me at all. You know, I've never asked her if anyone in her family has had it, but I don't think they really talked about it openly. So I do think that on both ends, she was not as prepared to have that conversation with me just about contraceptives. I also assumed she wouldn't want to have the conversation. So I went into it like, I'm just going to say this and hope you take it well. And
yeah, and I think that's the case for a lot of AAPI youth. Like we have that episode where we talk about stigma, and I think that that can be a real hindrance to not only like having those conversations, but accessing birth control like in the first place. So Twi, since you weren't able to have that conversation with your guardians, how do you think AAPI norms maybe like affected their unwillingness to talk about it with you?
I wouldn't say that like the culture is a norm, but the culture is really what built up the unwillingness, if that's a strong word to say, but their unwillingness to have the conversation because they didn't want the exposure to their children. And now that I'm older and I've had these conversations with my mom now, she still doesn't know I'm on birth control, but like talking to her now, like that I do have a boyfriend and, you know, we are, you know, obviously living together and these are things that she knows are happening. I do talk to her like, why aren't you more open about talking to these things? Because even when I do talk about these things, she tries to like change the conversation or just doesn't really want to like talk much about it. But I asked her why she's so shy about it. And she said that's just how she grew up. And nobody, even like as adults, they don't talk about these things. These conversations happen behind closed doors. And
yeah, that's really interesting, especially because when you confronted her per se, she kind of, I guess she's allowed to justify her discomfort, but it's kind of interesting that she's aware of it. So what, if anything, do you wish had maybe gone differently during the conversation? And also, how do you think we could maybe have different conversations with future generations?
What could have gone differently in my conversation? I just wish she would have had confidence that I'm older now. I think that parents obviously will always see their kids as kids until you have a family of their own. I think that even at age 21, that if we have these conversations more often, whether they're in your family or not, even with just older people around you, your peers, that you can build up this more mature mindset that surrounds it in education rather than just having these conversations just for the sake of having sexual conversation.
Yeah, I think the confidence bit for me, I felt like it should have gone both ways. I definitely pigeonholed my mom into I assume she would not have a good conversation with me about it, right? So then when I approached it, I almost didn't even give her the chance to talk to me. And I think that, I mean, like y'all said, breaking the stigma about it and having some smaller conversation, it doesn't have to be a huge conversation every single time where we're breaking down, like, why did you grow up this way? And why am I growing up this way? And keeping that up, but just even saying like, okay, I'm going on birth control. What does that mean for me right now? And having a conversation in pieces, I think helps break those barriers a little bit more, like communication barriers. I think it sucks sometimes to be the person that has to have the burden of breaking through all of these cultural norms or even just relationship communication issues.
I remember like this one particular instance when I was like 5 years old and my mom was like, she was like, if a boy ever winks at you, like run away, be suspicious. And I was like, what does that mean? But yeah, I definitely think that those are, it's interesting that that is like a common experience that people in the AAPI community have had. And it's definitely something that I think we need to work against by like continuously educating youth rather than doing like one weird surface level sex talk when they're like 14 years old. But that being said, did you know anything about resources for contraceptives? I think a good example of that is like low cost IUDs at Planned Parenthood before you started taking them or looking into taking them.
I didn't. You know, my family, our insurance was Medicaid. So that kind of limited the options. I didn't really have the option just to go to any gynecologist and kind of ask. I kind of had to like look in network within the Medicaid to see who would take me. And the resources I found actually weren't through the internet. The resources I found were because I didn't want them to see like my search history or anything, but that's funny. Yeah, the resources I found were just through actually my peers. I asked around. I was actually working at Fujihana, which is like this Japanese restaurant on the West Bank here in New Orleans. And my coworker, she had children and I knew she got pregnant in high school. And so I asked her, I was like, you know, she said that she was on an IUD. And I said, what is that? I have no idea what you're talking about using this acronym. And then she said, just Google it. And I was like, no, just tell me what it is. And she explained everything about it. And I asked her, okay, so where do I get one? It sounds amazing. And she's like, wow. She told me about Title X funding. And I was, again, I was like, what is that? I have no idea what you're talking about. And she walked me through everything and I was really appreciative to have her. And I think I probably could have reached out to more people about it and their experiences, but I was just so eager that I jumped on it. I called Planned Parenthood and they walked me through the rest.
That's awesome. Thinking back in high school, I don't really think I knew really what Planned Parenthood or other community clinics offered, but the school I went to, it was like a pretty small conservative school, and all of my like white girlfriends were all on birth control and kind of switching and figuring out, or birth control pills and switching between them, figuring out what works for them, you know, the classic. Also they're teenagers going through puberty too, so kind of figuring out, okay, is this birth control pill making me gain weight? And is this back knee because of the pills, or am I just getting back knee? All of these things. And so I never wanted to get on birth control pills, but also I was a minor, so I didn't want to even bring that up with my parents. And then by college, when I was thinking about, okay, what do I want to get for myself? I still didn't really like the idea of the pill because it was hormonal. Yeah, so by the time I was looking into an IUD, I think I knew a few people who had it. I knew people who had the injection, and I knew I just wanted something low maintenance, do not have to think about it. And I looked into Planned Parenthood at the time. I had moved back to New Orleans and was back on my parents' insurance, but I was a new patient everywhere. So it was just really hard to get that first appointment where you meet the doctor. And I was stressed out about it. You know, I had looked into Planned Parenthood as well for an STI test, and just the all of these things were very stressful at the time. And then so I took a break from looking into it, and then eventually just looked into my insurance in network.
Yeah, I think a lot of kind of learning about contraception initially is, yeah, hearing personal stories. That's how it was for me too, is I kind of heard about all my friends getting on contraception and their experiences. But another thing that helped me, and I'm going to plug Planned Parenthood's website. Their website is so comprehensive for just about anything. So yeah, if you ever have any questions, super reliable sources to go to Planned Parenthood. Especially if you're kind of hearing these stories, but don't necessarily have the scientific basis to understand what's going on behind it, that website is super helpful. So next question, did you face actual obstacles in obtaining contraceptives? And maybe how was it navigating these obstacles? What were they like?
The biggest obstacle for me was the privacy aspect of it, which was a very important thing for me. Like I said, I went to Planned Parenthood because they accepted Medicaid, and with the Title X funding, I chose to go there. And then when I went there and they asked if I had insurance, I was like, I'm under my mom's insurance. So what does that mean for my privacy? And the front desk staff told me that there's a possibility that a bill would be sent home to the mailing address saying like that what you got from here and what services we provided for you, just as an invoice purpose. And I was like, no, not good. That cannot happen. And so I was like, is there any way that we cannot go through my insurance? And they were like, yeah, you can pay out of pocket. And I was like, okay, how much is that going to be? And they were like, well, what kind of, you know, contraception were you looking for? And I was like, you know, I heard about the IUD. I really want that. And they were like, well, that's going to cost you about $500. I was like, $500? I'm working at a host at a Japanese restaurant. I don't make $500 to pay for an IUD. And so I was like, what are my other options here? And she was like, maybe you can apply on your own for some insurance. I was 16 years old. I was like, okay. And so I just walked away. And then I went home and did a lot more research. I was like, who's going to let me have insurance at 16 years old on my own? And I applied for Medicaid on my own. I was like, okay, let's see what happens. And I got approved. I was like, okay. So I got approved for Medicaid at 16 years old. And I went back to Planned Parenthood and I got my IUD, and it was really easy. But
are amazing for going through that to me, because I was already out of college and still didn't want those invoices sent home, but I was on my parents' insurance and I still, you know, had my own income, but it was still, if they get the invoice and see it, I have to have this conversation now, you know, and it felt like it was not under my control. And yeah, I think my biggest obstacle was figuring out how to do this on my own and just having the conversation with the doctor and figuring out what kind of birth control I wanted to be on. I thought I went in wanting an IUD and then left being like, okay, I don't really know what I want. And I do really want to talk to my mom about it, but I also don't want to bring up the conversation at all. And one of my biggest obstacles was dealing with insurance and calling them ahead of time to figure out what the price would be. And I had asked my doctor at the time, can you give me an estimate? And they said, usually it ranges from this, but it just depends on your insurance. So you can give them a call. And then you spend all day on the phone with insurance anyway, just for them to put it back on me. They said, well, what's the code of the contraception you're getting? I said, what code? Like, what are you talking about? You know, the name is Mirena IUD. Don't you have catalogs of information? Like, why are you asking me? And they said, okay, well, if you don't know, then you can ask your doctor. And so then I'm going back and forth between doctor insurance, and they clearly talk in different codes, right? So I'm getting one thing from the doctor and the insurance is asking for another and none of it makes sense to me. And then I'm more and more stressed about how do I just get this IUD inside of my uterus?
No, honestly, navigating insurance is such a nightmare. Like my dad made it a point to teach me how to like talk to the doctor, look up the codes and check in with the insurance company, like how much everything is. And I was so hesitant to do it, but now it is so useful. And then you can like contest things and be like, you billed this wrong and you feel very powerful. So highly recommend maybe before getting into, before you need something done to like, maybe look at some YouTube videos or take look into getting some information on that because it's super helpful. So you're not floundering when you actually need help.
Yeah, I love that. I feel like I'm 21 and I've like basically taken a class on health insurance and I still am confused. So I feel like the healthcare system like makes it a point to make everything as complicated as it can be. And on that note, so how do you think the healthcare system and healthcare insurance can facilitate better and easier communication in terms of reproductive healthcare? And this might be different because I don't know what kind of insurance Ellen uses. And I know Twee said she was using Medicaid. So those answers might vary a little bit.
Well, first of all, I think they should make it very, very easier to navigate just because my parents are immigrants, so they are never going to pick up a phone and call the insurance. They are always going to ask me or my siblings to call in the insurance and ask. So the insurance people are most likely going to be talking to a 14 to 16 year old kid who is trying to speak on behalf of my parents. So I think that all this coding and all the complications should be found somewhere that's really easy to just read through before we got onto the phone. Because if you're 14, you're 16, you have major phone anxiety. So to be able to look at this information online before hopping on the phone with a representative would be amazing. I wish that was something that I had the luxury to do.
Yeah, as a child of immigrants, you would think that being on the phone with insurance companies since I was a kid would have better prepared me, but I still am just dumbfounded every time because it's so convoluted.
Yeah, it seems like navigating that is honestly a huge pain. Do you maybe have any advice for young people who are interacting with the healthcare system for the first time or with health insurance without the support?
Don't let them make you be afraid of asking questions. I think that was something that was really hard for me because for some reason, even though I'm going to the doctor and they're the ones who have all the knowledge, I didn't want them to know that I didn't know anything. So I was always afraid to ask silly or stupid questions because I know that I can just look it up on Planned Parenthood or whatever other websites and books. But I just didn't want them to know that I just wanted the answer from them, you know?
Okay, so what was your experience taking or using the contraceptive actually like? And is there anything that you wish you had known before you started using it?
So once I had my appointment, that's when I started to like do my research. And I used like private incognito mode to like go on a lot of forums and just ask what the experience was. I got the copper IUD, so I started looking a lot of what was the pain level, or you know, what was insertion day like, and how long is it last? And I found a lot of people say like it was super, super, super painful. So I was terrified. I mean, I'm gonna be a 16-year-old girl walking in there with no parent, no anybody, and having this thing stuck in me that apparently is excruciatingly painful. And so I was terrified. I even like contemplated canceling my appointment, but I didn't. And I ended up going there. And I actually ended up going with one of my very close friends. And he was there to help me. And he wasn't my boyfriend, but it was funny because just because he was a guy accompanying me, everyone treated him like, oh, make sure you take care of her for the rest of the day, get her anything she wants to eat. And he was just playing along. He was like, okay, whatever. And so he was there to like hold my hand and stuff. And it was, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. And it's different for everybody. Everybody has a different pain level and everybody takes the IUD differently, how their body will react to it. My body reacted terribly. It was very painful and I felt like I was going to die. And afterwards, it even took like 2-3 days to recover from it. So needless to say, my experience was not great, but I had an amazing support there with me. And I think that's something that I think everybody should have with them when they get their contraceptive, especially at such a young age. If you don't feel comfortable having the conversation with your parents and they can't be the support system there for you, have your friends be the support system for you. Have somebody there with you.
Yeah, it's okay to lean on people when you need it. Whenever I got my IUD, I got the Skyla, the low hormone one. And I also was really worried about that initial insertion. I mean, it's hard. You go online and of course you're always going to read generally the more intense reactions. So I was worried about it, but I just kind of went in hoping to be very calm and hoping my body would just be comfortable receiving it. And ultimately I did just end up having kind of a cramp when they put it in, and then it turned out to be okay. I think down the road though, I wish that I had thought more about long-term effects in the beginning as I adjusted to it. I think I thought, okay, the IUD is for me because I don't have to think about it once I get in. I don't need to deal with it. So for months, I was just having such intense emotional responses to everything. And I didn't consider that it was the IUD at all. And I mean, even if I did, I don't know that I would have gone through the process of taking it out just to get something else and start that whole process again. Also because I already had the bill and that was its own thing, but it ended up regulating in the end and it was fine. Overall, I've had a really good experience with the IUD. Ultimately, I had to get it taken out for other reasons and am on a break, but the whole time coming up on my 3 years with it, I was really dreading going back through that hormonal process because of how emotional I was. And it was like 6 months of just really intense feelings. So I was really dreading it. And then now that I'm off it, the adjustment period back has been okay. Obviously, my menstrual cycle is different, kind of going back to how it was. But I'm still wondering what kind I want to get back on. I'm pretty over the extra hormones for me personally, but I'm also hesitant about just getting on a new one, but also excited.
Yeah, kind of on that note, Ellen, you were saying that you kind of hear the more intense stories, but I also got a copper IUD probably 2 years ago now. And it went super smooth for me. I went in, the doctor actually like let me text my friends and play music while she was putting it in to help me relax. And it went so well that I like went climbing that night. Like nothing happened to me. I'm completely fine. So that just goes to show that like these anecdotal stories, I mean, it's so different for everyone. So keep that in mind if you all are looking into birth control and different options. So
yeah, and my experience has been totally different than everyone's. I take birth control oral contraceptives. So I take like the little pills that you have to take every night. I know a lot of people generally don't like them because for some people it can be difficult to remember like what time to take them or to take theirs every day. I personally have liked it. I've talked about some previous episodes, but I originally got on it for my skin and not for like actual sexual activity. And I've stayed on it mainly for my skin. But I definitely do think that a lot of people I know who have taken oral contraceptives have had bad like mental health consequences from it. So I just think that that's something to keep in mind if you like are someone who maybe is experiencing depression or anxiety, like to be sure to talk with your medical provider about that, just to make sure that whatever birth control you're using is not going to like exacerbate that, because hormones are not something to mess with. They are very powerful little particles. So just something to remember. But on that note, Ellen and Chuy, we want to thank you all so much for coming and interviewing with us today. It was an honor to have you on the podcast, and we hope that our listeners learn a lot from what you had to say.
Thank y'all. This was great. I feel like I could talk to y'all all day long.
This episode was written by Divya Goyal and Maya Jamalapiti, and it's affiliated with Bela New Orleans. And the music you are listening to is Superposition by Young the Giant. I don't believe in fate, no psychic vision.